Hey, everybody. This is Sari.
And this is Sean.
And we're the Simpson siblings. And this is our start of... Is this our season three now?
Season three.
What the heck?
It's weird.
What is...
But it's fun.
What is time? Yes, it is good. And we had a bit of a prolonged summer break, but we are ready to get going again. But yeah, we're excited to get started again. If you're on our Patreon, like a certain Timothy Burleson, then you will have gotten a couple bonus episodes during the summer to check out. But yeah, now we're back to normal episodes again.
And jumping right into Halloween, too.
Yeah, it's a good place to start. Yeah, without further ado, we're starting out with Halloween of Horror. This is season 27, episode 4, originally aired October 18th, 2015, written by Carolyn Omine, directed by Mike B. Anderson. Our guest stars are Blake Anderson as Dickie and Nick Kroll as Lem.
And I'm trying to remember, I didn't write anything down. There wasn't a chalkboard gag on this one, wasn't
there? There wasn't. Yeah, usually that means they had too much and basically cut it out for time. But this one's interesting because it's the first completely canon non-Treehouse of Horror Halloween special.
Yeah, I remember when you were telling me about this one, I hadn't seen it before. And hearing that there was a canon Halloween episode, it sounded like it was going to be really fun.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. And I was kind of thinking to myself, it's weird that it took them 24 seasons to do this. Because it seems, in hindsight, it seems obvious, but I wouldn't have thought of it either. But, you know, something different.
Yeah, it was definitely a memorable one, too.
Oh, yeah. We start out with Homer's Halloween decorating. It's a big improvement on his Christmas decor from Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire.
Yes. I always remember the ho, ho, ho from next door.
Ho, ho, ho. Yep. And we get right off the bat this really great fourth wall break with Flanders and Homer's sort of little conversation.
Yeah, when they talked about having the three stories of terror.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, we're going to do that next week. And when I looked at the episode listing, Treehouse of Horror was the next week. So that was literally, if you'd watched it when it aired, it was literally true.
Yeah, I love that creative writing.
That was good. The episode descriptions didn't match, though, because he says, like, things are going to happen, like Skinner and his mother and stuff. None of those happen in that Treehouse of Horror, but...
We'll just see in, like, maybe in a couple years they'll go back to those as, like, ideas for stories.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. They mentioned the Halloween skippers.
Right.
You always know those houses where they just... turn off their lights and just don't do Halloween.
But you can see some lights on inside and you just know.
Yeah. You know. Oh, Santa's little helper's like worried face when Marge is talking about putting him in a little costume.
I know. And I was thinking about Amos too. If we put him in a costume, he would not like it.
Oh, Amos. He looks just like Santa's little helper. It was funny because the sign says Krusty Land's Halloween Horror Nights, which at first I thought, oh, that must be a spoof on what Universal does. And I looked it up and it's literally the same name as what Universal does.
Oh, nice. We'll have to do that.
So I'm wondering if they can kind of sneak that a little bit since they have a bit of a tie with the theme park.
Yeah, I think that they're, and maybe even when you go into the Simpsons area, they might even do some. Even closely similar names.
Yeah. And underneath the sign, it says, powered by purple energy drink, taste the rage. It's slightly unsettling.
I also liked how Krusty was giving like the disclaimers and everything going in, like totally Krusty to cover himself legally for.
Oh, yeah. So they go into the Halloween pop-up shops, which are, I was wondering looking at this, just how many states or even countries have Spirit Halloween.
Well, anywhere that has a store that's gone out of business probably has one.
Yeah, they just jump on whatever vacant property they can find. It's free real estate.
It's free real estate.
And I love that one of the shops says, like, official Halloween headquarters. Like, who would deem that? Like, who would make that sort of decision?
The Emporium of Halloween Stores.
It's personally approved by Jack Skellington.
Yes.
That's where they meet these, they kind of reminded me of the Carnies. Remember the Carney Code episode?
It's funny you'd say that. We just had that on the background, like,
oh, really?
Minutes ago. Yep.
Yeah, they kind of remind me of similar types of characters, because they just kind of go from town to town, and they're sort of painted as super untrustworthy.
Well, they talked about floating between different holidays, too, like Easter and all these. Like, you don't really have Easter stores, but maybe do they work in, like, the candy factory when they're making Easter candy?
I don't know. Maybe they work for the bunny himself.
Yes, himself.
Yes, himself. I also wrote down silly string sneeze. Ew.
Yeah, because you had to get it up there somehow.
Yeah, can you imagine what that would feel like?
Ugh, like the fumes coming off of it? I mean, I guess that's why they're doing it.
Yeah. But one of my favorite lines of the episode was Apu saying, "They would rob me like striped hamburger thief robs restaurant meat clown."
Did you see the costumes in the background?
I didn't see the ones in the background.
On the shelf, there was striped hamburger thief and, like, hamburger meat clown.
Oh, yeah, I saw those. I thought there might have been more. But, yeah, I love that because they always get away with those non-copyright infringing names for those costumes. Like, Ice Princess or, you know.
Because the licensed ones are always so much more expensive.
Oh, yeah. So Homer kind of makes this deal to buy the skeleton mariachis. I specifically remember that being a thing at Target, like, a couple years ago, and I'm wondering
No, it's there now. It sings nonstop.
Really?
At least the one that I've been to.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a little annoying.
What a time to be alive.
We watched that one today, too.
Moon Pie.
What a time to be alive.
I that's probably one of my most quoted Simpsons lines. I say it way too much. So he makes the deal, and it's very sketchy the way they do it. Like, obviously, where they're like, you pay me cash, I'll throw in three extra skeletons. And, of course, Homer doesn't know what the hell's going on. And they say to not tell the squishy guy.
Was it Old Man Squishy?
Old Man Squishy, yep. And so Homer ends up telling him, and he's like, but don't tell Old Man Squishy. We hate him. So, of course, they get in trouble. And this whole back and forth about them saying, you'll be sorry. And Homer's like, but I'm sorry now.
But you'll be sorry.
I said I'm sorry now. You guys don't know me at all.
I'm just friends with everybody.
Oh, he means well. He's just very dumb. I liked that the entrance to Krusty Land actually looks like the entrance to the ride at Universal Studios.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah.
And I was so sad that it wasn't running when we were there.
It wasn't running. We went on all the rides except for it. Next time. Lisa is basically me with any haunted house attraction.
Yeah, which I thought was really funny, too, that she's always very, like, logical and sensical, but then she's still got that little kid side that kicks in with, like, the fear of Halloween and ghosts and stuff.
Yeah, and you really feel for her, and you can even hear her logical side trying to, you know, get her out of this, saying, you know, like, oh, it isn't real, just remember, it's not real, like, even she knows she should be smarter than this, but she's still a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which actually reminds me of the time we went to Universal Studios and there was that mummy haunted house.
Yes.
And I, like, cried through the whole thing with Mom, and you and Dad, like, were just running around it and stuff. And I was, like, just openly weeping the whole time.
Oh, yeah, that was so much fun.
Oh, Yes, I had so much fun. So Homer says, don't worry about it. Just hold my hand. We'll walk through this, you know, the crowd of zombies and stuff. And of course, he ends up holding Mole Man's hand instead. And I just love this whole sequence with Mole Man where they're standing at the Krustyland pretzel. And the sign says, these are the options. Salty, exclamation point. Extra salty. And they all have exclamation points. Ultra salty. Plain. Salt frosting. Peanut-ish butter.
The salt frosting was the one that I imagined like a broth or a brine that they just dipped it in.
God, I could like feel it on my tongue. Just like salt. Like a bunch of salt and a bunch of sugar. And like too much of both.
Like you can feel it in your heart.
And that's exactly what Homer would order. So Lisa runs off and she's gotten separated from Homer. And she runs into the security office, and even the security office is full of, like, actors, and they have, like, the alien thing coming out of the chest. Like, that would be so bad.
That's a big liability right there.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have the later scene with the sign in the background that says, real security office.
Yeah. This was a really great portrayal of, like, a panic attack, when she sort of, like, collapses on the ground.
Yeah, she just kind of shut everything out and reverted to a different state.
Yeah, and oh my gosh. Like, I feel so bad for her there.
Well, then they did a whole thing where the park kind of like had to reset. And so she was dealing with the fear, but also everyone just being upset with her for ruining experience.
Yep.
Which it kind of reminded me of Truman Show. With, like, everyone having to reset to, like, positions and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it really is, they're just, it's very intricate, I bet, trying to just keep everything in line for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next day they show Lisa and Bart going to school, and Lisa doesn't want to wear her costume. And they have this really well-designed scene of Lisa walking down the hallway at school, and every, like, even just really innocent-looking Halloween decorations she sees is scary.
I thought it was animated really well. Like, they had a lot of, like the rotating angles and, like, how things morphed and changed color. Like, I just thought they put a lot of detail into how that was portrayed in her mind.
It wasn't really pulled for a gag. It was just sort of artistically done very well. She ends up, like, hiding in a locker. And this whole scene of her, because if you think about it, too, she's the one who's obsessed with going to school. She's got the strike readiness thing in the one episode. It's got to take a lot for her to not want to go to school.
Yeah, and she just looked ragged coming down the stairs, too, on the scene before.
Poor Lisa. So we have Marge sort of trying to convince Homer to get rid of the Halloween decoration, the Ever-Scream Terrors. And Homer says, I'm the Mozart of Halloween decorating, and this is the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's just, he's just throwing words out.
He's just throwing things out there. But that's about when we get introduced to Lisa's sort of, like, comfort blanket, which is called a little toy called Taylee.
It's always hard when they introduce stuff like that. And it's just like, after 27 years of watching this show, how have we not seen this before? But you kind of need those elements to connect the dots in these stories.
It has a lot of payoff later in the episode, which kind of gets me to cut it some slack. But yeah, it would have, I feel like it would have been better if it was maybe like an old Malibu Stacy or something like that. Something that they'd already established, or like a Happy Little Elf doll or something.
I was just thinking like Happy Little Elf, but like kind of with like troll hair.
Yeah, if they could have done something like that, it would have connected a lot better. But I mean, it's a little nitpicky, but yeah, it is kind of weird that we've never heard of this before. Homer ends up taking down the Ever-Scream Terrors, and Bart gets mad about it. And Marge says this really sweet thing. She says, Lisa has a tummy ache in her courage.
I wrote that one down specifically, too. It's like, it's still, her courage is still there. It's just having a rough day.
Yeah. Oh, Marge. So Marge comforts Bart by telling him that she's going to take him to the best Halloween block party to make up for it. And she says, there's an ET that will say your name, which I don't know if you remember this either, but this was the same time we went to Universal Studios when we went to that mummy thing. They had an ET ride there, and the animatronic ET would say your name.
I remember that. That's exactly what I thought about when that scene came up. And I was like, oh, it's inspired by that.
I'm glad it wasn't just me. Like, they were doing a lot of Universal Studios references in this one.
Maybe there was, like, some commercial thing to pair along with it or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder. I kind of like the whole sort of... I don't really know if this is the halfway point of the episode or if it's more like the third. But for, like, a big chunk of the episode, it's just Lisa and Homer. And then some Bart and Marge, too. But it's mostly centered on Lisa and Homer. And I love Lisa and Homer stories.
Yeah, they always have the best ones, like the velvet rope.
Mm-hmm, yep. And the one with the, where they're like betting on football. And the, their sort of B plot when Bart, rents that car.
Yeah.
And she kind of hangs out with him at the nuclear plant. It's just, they seem like such opposites that when they have to have a story together, it's always interesting.
Yeah, they do a good job.
Yeah. So then we have Homer being real, he's being a good dad here, where he's kind of trying to be comforting, and he has like a playful cat puzzle, and he's trying to get Lisa to forget that it's Halloween.
Yeah, he fails a lot of times, but this is one of those times where he really knows what his role needs to be, and he does a good job of doing it.
Yeah. But, of course, that gets messed up when the pop-up store guys come back.
Which, it took him a really long time to recognize them at the door.
And we get things like the creepy nursery rhymes. Homer's sort of, like, trying to hide that they're sort of stalking their house because he has to keep Lisa, you know, in a place where she's not scared.
And just how they were outside, like, under the floodlight. Just, mm-hmm. like, playing those mind games, like... It was starting to get to Homer, too, and he was trying not to show that fear to Lisa.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of good layers there. So I like that Marge tries to get into that block party, and there's a security guard outside, and he says that basically you have to live there in order to be part of the block party. And she tries to bribe him with a zipline Groupon.
Which almost works, surprisingly.
Yeah, what is that guy's name? Because he always shows up as, like, random characters. He kind of just talks like this.
Yeah, he's got, like, the sarcastic New York accent.
Yeah. Ziplining is everything to me, but...
Well, I think it was funny, too, how he tells them they have to turn around, but they have to, like, go into the neighborhood to turn around.
Yeah, like, it's such a tease that he has to, like, sit there and look at all the fun stuff he could be doing. So, Homer's trying to hide what's going on, and he says, I'll just whistle a happy tune. And he whistles the theme song from Halloween.
I know. Doesn't Lisa hum along, too?
Yeah, she ends up doing it later. It's cute. But then they end up actually putting, like, fake blood on the wall. And they say, first it says trick or treat, and then it says we're in the house, stupid.
And the cruelest thing of all that they do, they forget to pay Homer's phone bill. When he's going through all the things that they're doing to him, and then he gasps and he picks up the phone to call for help. And he's like, oh, and they forgot to pay my phone bill.
Oh, so he's blaming them for that.
Yeah.
Oh my
and
gosh.
That's a good plot mechanic for why they can't call for help.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, too, that this was sort of when it wasn't uncommon to have both a cell phone and a home phone.
Yeah.
It was still kind of on the crux of that. I thought that home invasion was a great subject to add suspense to more of a down-to-earth Halloween special. So Homer tries to quietly take Lisa to the Flanders house, which is a good idea, but then she ends up running back when she realizes she forgot Taylee.
Yeah.
And so they're going up the stairs, and this fog appears, and he says, everything's fine, except for this inexplicable fog, and I immediately got Treehouse of Horror 5 flashbacks.
Oh, I didn't think about that, the fog that turns people inside out.
Stupid weather vane. And it's kind of cute that they sort of have this little freak out together where they both just start screaming and, like, getting into different positions. Like, at one point, I think Lisa's carrying Homer.
Yeah, they're all crawling over each other in all different angles.
Yeah, that's a cute sequence. So they end up hiding up in the attic, which was also... The attic? Was the attic in more than one Treehouse of Horror, or was it just the one with the evil twin?
I think that was it. I know they've been up there before, but I don't think for any other Treehouse of Horrors. So much so that I was looking for any, like, weird Hugo references in the background.
Yeah, that would have been good to sneak that in, the fish heads.
Yeah.
This really is, though, like, the most challenging situation for Lisa. And I love that they combined, like, this plot point from the beginning with the central problem of the story. It makes it sort of, like, doubly important.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too, like, after they went upstairs and into the attic, I was like, oh, there's got to be a way for them to, like, block them. And I looked at the, like, the stairs after they pulled them up, and I was like, oh, something like a broom handle can fit right in that gap right there.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they do, yep.
Yeah.
So you've got this whole little sequence of Lisa saying over and over, this isn't real, this isn't real. And Homer says, like, I've lied to you so many times as your father, more than there's stars in the sky, but this is real.
And I think that was kind of more appealing to her logic side. Like, this is happening. Let's think of something.
Yeah. Yeah. We're in this. We got to deal with it. And as we see in the end, that really is what, in a way, what she needed to learn that she can be brave. Back to Marge and Bart, she's kind of trying to rush him through getting the last sort of trick-or-treat done. We end up getting this grown-up Halloween musical segment.
Oh, yeah, the grown-up Halloween song was pretty well done, I think.
Yeah, I think, like, I wrote down that I think, I haven't watched a ton of Modern Simpsons, but this has to be the best musical act of Modern Simpsons. And honestly, there's some great, like, fan art ideas of just, like, different costumes. Like, Rainier Wolfcastle was in drag. I would love to draw that. And they all had really interesting costumes and stuff.
Yeah, I think some of it, too, they pulled, like, Reverend Lovejoy was in that, like, punk outfit that he was in before.
Yeah. It really does kind of... you know, you don't really think about it too much, but there is this sort of weird dichotomy of Halloween where there's sort of a kid side to it and an adult side to it. And really, you don't get that with a lot of other holidays.
Yeah, and they're both very, like, extreme sides, and they're all, like, overlapping in weird ways, but separate.
Yeah. So we cut back to Homer and Lisa, and Homer says... You can't let fear shut down your brain because between the two of us, we've only got one good one.
That was funny.
Oh, it was funny and sweet. and that line right there might be one of the reasons why I love the Homer-Lisa dichotomy so much.
Yeah, they make a good combination because, like, Lisa's logic and then Homer living in the impulse zone.
Yeah, he gotta live here. they decide to try to make a signal out of all the decorations, and in the process they set off the mariachis.
And we all know that once you set off something like that, there's no stopping it.
Oh no, that's it. So the pop-up store employees know where to find them now, so they sort of start trying to get into the attic. So they try to get everything up to the roof before they get caught by them. And Homer's got this big fireworks display to light, but it's too windy for his matches. So that's when Lisa offers him Taylee.
And that's a big sacrifice with all the memories and attachment to it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was kind of thinking back, because for me, that would have been my Barney doll. Which I still have. I have it up in storage somewhere. And even as an adult, I would have trouble if someone was like, we have to light this on fire. I would be sad. and I'm an adult. So picturing trying to do that as an 8-year-old to something you still have an attachment to takes quite a lot.
Yeah. I like how she said it had all the years of, like, skin grease from rubbing up against her face.
Yeah, like, she had the logic behind it, too. They end up setting off the fireworks, and we have the line, "Sexy drunks, stop them!" And that's when you sort of get the grown-up Halloween people going to help out with, you know, what they see is happening over at the Simpsons house.
And it's funny, too, because, like, the fireworks kind of get everyone's attention. You don't really need the big help sign.
Yeah.
But it's cool that it was made from all the different holidays.
Yeah, you can sort of pinpoint certain things. And I absolutely love Eddie and Lou as Bert and Ernie.
Yeah.
That was super cute. And Bart is happy to see Everscream Terrors back, along with just random other holiday decor.
I also like how they're able to work in Kang and Kodos.
I love
in
that.
In a canon episode.
Mm-hmm. And Lenny's just like, I've been practicing this voice. And then he just, like, loses the voice. He's like, I can't do it anymore. And Marge is, like, kind of upset at first when she sees that the decorations are back up. But then Lisa's actually the one that pops out of the coffin as, like, an undead Frida Kahlo. And I love that she's learned to find the fun in it after this whole situation, that now she's the one popping out and scaring people.
Yeah, that was a good, like, resolution point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it was a really good way to do a canon episode, have some legitimate fear in it, have a good resolution,
mm-hmm.
and it just worked really well without it being too gimmicky.
And it's got those good, happy, warm, and fuzzy feelings, too.
Yeah. We also have a question during the credits with, is Maggie and or Taylee magic? Because if it's canon, something happened there.
So, I feel stupid because I didn't watch that.
What?
Yeah, once the credits started, I backed out of it, and then I was looking at the trivia of the episode, and it said something in the end about Maggie, and I thought, I can't remember that scene, and now it makes sense.
Yeah, she found Taylee on the ground mm-hmm. and picked it up, and it, like, rematerialized back to normal. And then Maggie just stares into the camera as it fades away.
What?
It's canon.
I don't know how I feel about that. I feel uneasy. But yeah, this is a good one to check out. And it did receive both an Emmy nomination and a Writers Guild nomination. So, those are fun facts.
Those are words.
Put that in your Cinco Facts machine.
Every time.
Yeah, so that was Halloween of Horror. I'd like to see a Halloween of Horror, too.
Yeah. Maybe we can get those people to come back, the workers.
Yeah, and it was a very well-received episode, too. Like, it's on a lot of people's, like, best modern Simpsons lists. I know it's on Real Jim's, one of his modern Simpsons lists. And the people generally really like it. Like, I'm surprised they haven't done a second one yet.
Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't heard of this one before.
Yeah. It's good to be back on the recording train.
The podcast sphere.
The United Siblings unicycle of podcasting.
Okay. I'm required by law to pick on you.
And for that, I should announce that next time we will be covering Treehouse of Horror 4. Which is Season 5, Episode 5, as voted on by you, the listeners, on both our Twitter, which is at SimpsonsSibs, and you were able to vote an extra time if you were a patron. So, yeah, Treehouse of Horror 4, we'll check that out next time. It's probably my second favorite Treehouse of Horror, I'd say.
Yeah. Oh, I also think we should give a shout-out to our other patron, Dr. Zilla.
Dr. Zilla?
Yes.
Dr. Zilla? So we've got
thank you,
Timmy and Dr. Timmy B and Dr. Z.
Dr. Zaius.
Thank you so much, Dr. Zaius. And if you do want to check out our Patreon, we are at patreon.com/SimpsonSibs. You can get extra episodes. We'll send you random fan art, just like marker art of Simpsons stuff. We do all sorts of weird random things. I'd say until next time. Bye, everybody.